you make a decision and it's wrong, okay. And they're like, but I'm like, so make another decision and make another pivot. At least pick a path. If you pick a path and you have clarity on what you want to accomplish, then when that unanticipated roadblock gets thrown in your way, you will pivot and you will pick another path. It's again, being that proactive, saying I'm making a decision versus this happened. So, okay, I will go this way, but then I got hit with this and you're not picking anything. So you lose that confidence that you can make the right decision because you've never made a choice.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I'm your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Jennifer Cresswell. She is the founder and principal of ThoughtGrow, where she helps business owners solve problems faster during times of uncertainty to create lasting legacies. I mean, we could just full stop there. That's awesome. That's sold. And I think 10 people just booked a call with you. Focusing on strengthening what she calls a business's four foundational pillars, structure, team, process, culture, Jennifer combines her love of problem solving with a broad skill set and diverse experience across leadership, operations, business strategy, and communications. Like, she's just a stone cold killer. What if there's a problem? Yo, she'll solve it. Whether making a business attractive for acquisition or creating stability to support a growth-focused future, Jennifer truly enjoys working with business owners to define and realize their ultimate visions. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thanks so much, Kenny, and thank you for that rousing introduction. I really do enjoy what I do, and I appreciate the emphasis you gave to that.
Absolutely. Maybe you ought to think about sneaking the vanilla ice piece into the bio for future interviews. So I think it adds a little flavor. I mean, Jennifer, what is on your mind?
Well, I have yet to have a conversation with anyone personally or professionally where they're not a little unclear or worried about what the future is going to bring.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest challenges that I've heard from business owners recently is leading through this uncertainty. I mean, how can they focus on building a legacy if they have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, much less 10 years from now?
Yeah, that excellent point. And obviously, we've had more uncertainty over the last 5 years than maybe at any other time. I don't know. I've only been alive for a few decades. I don't know what it was like in the 1800s. But what comes to mind is if we're talking to just stick with entrepreneurs, there is, I mean, baked into the word entrepreneur is a part of it. I think it's entreprende, I think it's a French word meaning to assume risk. So isn't the uncertainty baked in to being an entrepreneur and being a leader, or are you sensing a new kind of uncertainty or lack of clarity?
I think there is that sense of uncertainty when you're a leader that you're not going to have all the answers. That's an uncomfortable feeling for a lot of leaders, and that's normal. But I think it's how you deal with that uncertainty that a lot of business owners, and especially small business owners who might have been really good at something and then they started a company because they were good at something, how do they deal with that uncertainty? I find that they fall into two camps. So when people are feeling that uncomfortableness, especially if they're leaders, they might jump in and start taking more control. They start doing the work alongside their employees, thinking that, hey, I'm showing I'm a team player. We're all in this together. And what happens? They get stuck in the day-to-day. Mm-hmm. No one's looking at the big picture. And the team starts to feel like they're just hamsters running on a wheel day after day.
I would also imagine that the team also feels a little like trampled on, or maybe that they're not trusted because the owner, CEO, whoever the most senior executive is like swooping in to do things, which can be really disheartening. And I say that as someone who's committed a faux pas, or that I was going to say crime, but that makes me sound like I'm the Joker. I saw like it really took the wind out of the sails of my team whenever I would do that. I would say or think that it's fairly common that when any of us feel a lack of clarity or certainty, that we try to scramble and grab for control. Like that's a natural response. Do you think people are on autopilot in doing that? Or do you think that there's a prevailing wisdom that says, hey, if you don't know what to do, just get busy doing everything?
I think in a way it's the latter. I don't think it's necessarily autopilot. Now, maybe it is for some people, but I think a lot of people are like, as long as I'm doing something, the business will move forward. And they feel that by taking an active role, then they're doing what they need to do. But then there's this other camp of people, right? So we talked the one camp, they're asserting control, they're just doing, and they're stuck in the day-to-day. The other side of the coin is the people who are like, we're not going to make any decisions. We're not going to make any changes. And they say, whether it's the next 90 days or until a certain specified event, which is never defined because they have no idea what that event is.
Until we know more. And then, like, what is more?
You're exactly right. And unfortunately for them, they think they're providing comfort. Nothing's going to change for the team. And the team's going, okay, but things are changing and we're not doing anything differently. Indecision is a decision. It's just you're giving control to someone else to make that decision for you.
I love that. Not making decision is a decision. And I'm certain that you and I, or maybe I'm less than certain, that you and I have talked about this just with our love of culture and helping shape that in organizations. But you're going to have a culture. It's just whether or not you let it happen by default or whether you intentionally designed it, right? So not making a decision in the same way, not making a decision is a decision. I also want to go back to, there's something I say quite a lot, and I have seen a lot and also been guilty of this a lot. I want to stop saying a lot in just a second. That's going to be the title of the episode, but mistaking activity for progress or busyness for productivity. Mm-hmm. Is that fairly common in the leaders that you're encountering? I think it makes us feel good, but it's fool's gold, right?
It is. Yes.
I'm not calling anybody a fool, but
No, but they're like, I'm really busy. The other thing it does is it causes overwhelm, right? So if you're really busy and you're doing all these things, but there's no direction, there's no focus, like, I'm really busy, but the business isn't moving forward. And you're doing all these little things. You're like, I'm going to keep all these balls in the air. And the question that my next question is, do you personally, you have to keep all the balls in the air? And so that's where they go, do I? You mentioned it in the beginning. I'm a problem solver. That's what I like to do. And leaders need to think big picture. They need to be focused on the big picture. They need to plan strategically and make decisions that will move the business forward, right? So think of it this way. If you're treading water, you're using a ton of energy, but you're not swimming, right? You're using all this energy, but you're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Man, I love that. And I'm also having flashbacks to my lifeguard certification and how much I hated that treading water piece. One thing that just hit me that I've not heard you say is that uncertainty is a bad thing. I've just heard you say it exists, but I've not heard you say it's bad, it's evil, it's detrimental, or any of those things.
A lot of the best things come out of uncertainty. And if we can approach it as making a decision, making a choice, saying this is the path that I'm going to take, there's a lot that can be learned from that. And it's not an all-in. It's not you have to, like, all the chips, we're just going to throw out everything we've done and take a completely new direction. No, that to me, that's not necessarily a smart way to deal with uncertainty. But uncertainty makes you think. It keeps you on your toes. As a business owner, and even as a leader, you shouldn't get comfortable in the status quo, because we all know things are going to change. It's how you deal with that uncertainty and solve those problems or even recognize those problems. That's what's going to get you through and help you move your business forward, because ultimately that's what you need to do. Think of it as throwing a ball, right? If you are moving backwards or to the side to avoid an obstacle and throwing a ball, is it going to go further in that situation, or will it go further if you're moving forward through a cleared path that you've chosen?
Yeah, if you're on your back heels and you're attempting to do it just mechanically, you can't throw a ball as far. Or for me, playing soccer, like you, if you're falling backwards and kicking the ball, like it's probably going to fly up. It's not going to be struck very hard. You're not going to you may not get it to a teammate, whatever it is. Something else within that. So I love that uncertainty is not a bad thing. It is maybe a tension to be managed. But it makes me think of a couple of things. One, Simon Sinek's book, The Infinite Game. Like the goal of the business is to keep the business going. Mm-hmm. It's not some final destination, but it's just to keep going. So that means that there's like an endless supply of uncertainty and problems and things to be solved. Like no matter we solve this, when we do this, well, now we got a new thing that we got to figure out. Like we're getting all this demand and we're selling more. Now you got to figure out how to fulfill it. And then you're fulfilling it really well. How do we do it more efficiently? Mm-hmm. Now we're doing it efficiently, but now we're delivering so fast that our people are bored. Now we need more sales. There's just always this next thing to be solved. The other thing, and I heard this recently, I listen and read a lot of Alex Hormozi's content, but he said something that was a great simple breakdown. He said, anxiety is having so many options, but no priorities. That's where anxiety comes from. And he said the opposite is like sadness is feeling like you have no perceived options, right? And so that's where hopelessness comes in. But what you're describing is there's all these options. There's all these fires. There's all these problems. There's all these goals. There's shiny objects. There's changes. There's AI. There's this. There's that. What do we do? And then if you don't have the priorities, like you were saying, then that uncertainty about which is the right thing, it leads to that overwhelm, which at best just causes a lot of heartburn. At worst, can actually lead to sadly, a very high suicide rate amongst entrepreneurs, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's that pressure to succeed and success being defined for them instead of somewhere internally. So how do you, if this is a given, if this is a state of the world and of business, how are you helping leaders maybe find those priorities, find that clarity, or at least find some peace in the storm? Because it sounds a lot like the fight, flight, or freeze sort of thing is coming through. And I'm not sure the freezing, like you said, do nothing. Flight, like we're just going to run away and do something. It sounds more like you're helping people figure out like what they're fighting for.
So I bucket problems, and you can call them problems, challenges, roadblocks, use whatever vernacular you're comfortable with and doesn't scare you away. I call them problems. I put them in four buckets for your business. So business, which includes financial, people, which are your people, not clients, process, and communication, which a lot of leaders mistake sometimes for business problems when it's really a lack of clarity or a lack of clear communication. So I take the problems, bucket them into those four categories. Then you tag them each and mark them either urgent or important. You cannot choose both.
Okay, I would be one of the people, but I imagine there's others that are like, hey, I've seen the Eisenhower matrix, or I read Stephen Covey, and God help me, I love a good 2x2 matrix. Aren't we supposed to be tackling the things that are urgent and important? But you're telling me I have to pick one or the other. So can you break down how that choice is made and maybe why we don't have the two intersecting?
And I define them differently. And there's a lot of schools of thought where you're looking at what's urgent, what's important. And I look at urgent as time sensitive. Something you could delegate to someone, make sure it gets done in the time that it needs to get done. But you as a leader don't need to focus on it. Versus important is vital to moving your business forward. And it's something a leader should be focusing on and may be the only person or people who can be focusing on it.
Gotcha.
So I can give you a couple examples if that's helpful.
Absolutely.
So think of it as payroll needs to be processed, right? Your people need to get paid. That's urgent. But a leader doesn't have to do that. You can have an outsourced resource, whoever, someone else. The company needs to have the money to make payroll. That's something that a leader needs to be focused on, right? Yeah. So that's one financial example. Another one is think about the services or products. You and I have both worked at agencies, led agencies. Mm. You need to make sure you're delivering those services and products to your clients on time and on budget, mm-hmm. right? That's not necessarily something the leader needs to focus on, but the leader should be focused on something that's urgent, right? It needs mm-hmm. to be done on time, on budget. It's important that the services and products are priced appropriately and positioned to your target audience so that they buy, so that you have right. people buying. That's important. That's where the mm-hmm. leader should be focusing their time. Now, it's not a perfect system, but what it does when you start to do this is you starts to help you prioritize and add focus on what you as the leader should be working on versus mm-hmm. what you can be delegating so that more gets done and everybody's moving together, but right. they're focused on the right things.
I like that. It sounds like the leader's focused a lot on for the important things. Those are like setting direction. Mm-hmm. And then the urgency is making sure we arrive at whatever that destination was on time, mm-hmm. maybe also on budget. You don't want to overspend too many snacks at Buc-ee's and you'll go broke. I like that. I was actually recently, I think I mentioned before we started recording, going through a new certification, and they brought up the 2x2 matrix and the urgent and important. And the trainer facilitator said something really interesting. He goes, if something is urgent and important, he goes, usually everybody agrees on that. If it's not urgent, not important, then we're like, that's stupid. Let's eliminate that. He goes, the biggest point of contention and confusion that he's seen is left with important, not urgent, or urgent, not important, which makes you think of like how you're splitting it. Mm-hmm. And we get confused on which buckets those go into sometimes, mm-hmm. like you're talking about, is creating more clear definitions. And then what group of people need to be tackling those buckets. So that's an extra layer. So I'm going to steal that
sure.
and be like, trademark Jennifer Creswell. They're like, did you just verbally say a trademark? I was like, yeah, just roll with it. But I really like that, because I think I want to go back to something you mentioned, is that a lot of entrepreneurs and leaders, they got started, got their position because they were good at doing a thing. Mm-hmm. They had some sort of a technical skill. And by technical, I don't mean like you're an engineer or working with mechanical or electronic, but just like you could do the thing, whatever it was. As you move up, it's less about doing the thing mm-hmm. and more about the business side of it, which some people get a rude awakening. They're like, man, there's all this extra stuff. I just wanted to build websites or sell this one thing or provide this type of service or make corn cob pipes. I don't know. my examples aren't nearly as good as yours. But now I gotta set up all this legal stuff. I got QuickBooks. God help me. I need to send invoices, and there's this processing fee. There's all these things. And I have to decide the price. I know how to make them really well, and I think I know what they cost. And I think it's just a rude surprise for so many people. So how do you talk to leaders and help them that they have to make that transition from the person doing it to the person who's setting the vision and the goals for what's happening? Because I found that's a tough transition for a lot of people, and not all of them want to make it. And my opinion is they shouldn't have to. Like, be realistic. What do you really want to get yourself into?
It comes down to what is their goal for their legacy, right? So if you're thinking about an entrepreneur, and I've met plenty of folks, wonderful folks, who are like, I just want a business that's going to provide me X amount of capital so that I can do things that I want to do. I'm not interested in growing, scaling, whatever that is. Now, I would argue that you always need to be growing, because if you're not great, you can't stand still. You're either moving backwards or forwards. But that's a story for another day.
Grow or die.
I mean, pretty much from that standpoint. But if you're looking to really build something and then move into the scaling, like those are different things, like you talked about mm-hmm. earlier, your certification that you're working on, understanding what you do well and then who you need on your team to get you where you want to go. And they don't all have to be full-time employees. You don't have to be really good at building websites and hire an entire C-suite. That's, first of all, you can't afford it. Second of all, they're going to be really bored because that's not something they're all going to want to do. but there's plenty of, and it's starting to get that, whoa, they're talking about fractional again. But think of them as trusted advisors, right? Mm-hmm. That have a specific skill that you either don't have or you want to get better at. Mm-hmm. These could be coaches, they can be mentors, they can be fractional folks, but using them to lay out what you want your company to be and defining that structure. What are the resources that you need? You don't have to define who they are, just what are they and how much of them do you think you need? Mm-hmm. You are a business that's, I don't know, just starting up. You may not need a CFO. You need someone who knows what the heck they're doing from a financial standpoint, if that's not your area of expertise. But you don't need a CFO or someone who's worked at the big four. That's not necessarily, that's not a need, right? Same goes for operations. You don't want someone who's been the COO of a billion-dollar company when your goal is to get to $1 million. It's different. It's a different skill set. So first is trying to figure out what you need and then looking at the people and how can they help you.
Yeah. I was literally in the last week talking to a client about that, the sort of like fractional help. Like, I don't know that you need a full-time, the position we're talking about. I was like, there's some very good fractional people that I think could give you some wisdom through the season that you're in, and you don't have to, you're not proposing marriage. So it's not, you're not making a forever commitment, but I think that they could help you navigate through the season you're in to get to the goals that you want to get to. Something you were talking about, just the aligning piece of who, you don't need a $1 billion COO if you're just starting out. I talk with my clients a lot about that. We talk about healthy fit, and healthy being core values, but then fit being fuel, impact, and timeliness. Like, they have to enjoy it and be good at it. They need to be able to make a significant positive impact. But that timeliness part, I think, is a piece, I'm glad you brought it up, that so often people misunderstand. Like, they are hiring CFO level when really what they need is a bookkeeper. Mm-hmm. Or I tell people, it's like a Fortune 500 company doesn't need to hire a newly minted CPA. Like, maybe that person will be ready one day, but they need time, experience, probably some additional credentials or something like that. And so finding that alignment, there is a right fit out there, but it doesn't mean you need to jump, especially if you're on your way up and you're smaller and you're sub 1, 2, 3 million. You don't need to jump to the top of the professional services. Like, you could get somebody really good that can help you navigate, even if it is just that advisor. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Which I find helps so often, which I think you and I've talked about this in previous calls, is sometimes our clients, they maybe just need a validation that they're not crazy, that they're doing the right thing, or just a different perspective or a space to process what they're thinking. And a lot of what you suggested, I think, can provide that space for entrepreneurs, for leaders who often are not giving themselves space to think, to slow down and process, because they're so busy throwing themselves into activity, like you were mentioning.
I agree with you. I also think that they need to give themselves the space, and I call it grace, to fail and to experience failure. There's a great book out there, because leaders are often afraid to fail, but there's a great book by Amy Edmondson. I don't know if you've read it. It's called Right Kind of Wrong, The Science of Failing Well. If you haven't read it, I recommend it.
I have her psychological safety book, because that's a huge thing of mine, but I haven't read that one from her, so I'll need to go pick that up. We'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah, it's a great book, but she divides failure into three main categories: basic, complex, and intelligence. And if you can make sure you're having more intelligent failures, especially as an entrepreneur and a leader, that's going to be really positive. And so intelligent failures, she defines them as failures that take place in a new territory. Think of, you're going into a new market, right?
So you're like an experiment.
Yeah, exactly. Scientists do this all the time, and it's actually very beneficial to them. But you need to be going into new territory. What you're doing is going to provide a credible opportunity for your business to do better, whether it's new market, new product, et cetera. It's based on research. You shouldn't just blindly go into something, but it's, oh, this market is underserved, or there's not a lot of competition for this type of service, whatever that might be. And then you also fail only as big as you need to gain valuable insight. So you don't, and I think I might have even mentioned this earlier, you don't throw out your entire business model and go, we're going full board on this new thing. you keep doing what you're doing and take, I don't know, 10, 20, whatever you think you can is reasonable, that percentage of your business goes after this new opportunity. Because if you fail, it won't bring down your company.
I've heard that referred to as like commit non-fatal failures. Again, this is probably another Hormozy, and he probably got it from somebody else, but it was like a 70-20-10 rule. Like 70% of your business, like you're saying, like keeping the core.
Is it?
Of doing what you're doing, like what's working, just do more of it. 20% could be like some variation thereof, a small experiment, but 10% could be a moonshot, like something like that intelligent piece. I'm really interested in this. It's not necessarily adjacent, but we want to go and test this and learn something. Like the point is to learn.
Yep.
And then, so 10%, risking 10% of your business shouldn't put you out of business and on the street and fire everybody. It should just give you more intelligence to say, oh, stay away from that. I'm glad we only invested a few thousand dollars there versus, okay, we all need to, everybody, you're all salespeople now. Let's get out and beat the bushes. Let's find the money.
And I think times of uncertainty or heightened uncertainty are great times to take those risks. And people go, well, wait, no. I'm not, I can't do that. But you should, because it's uncertain. You might actually get more feedback. You might find something that really works well that you would have never, oh, it's too risky. Is it really though? If it's only 10%, times of uncertainty is when we might make huge breakthroughs. And in my opinion, times are just going to keep changing more and more quickly. AI is going to be a game changer for all businesses, small to large. And so trying new things, doing that logical and thought through experimentation and hypothesis about what might be next for your business, that's healthy. And it's a great time to do that.
Gotcha. Which I think might be counterintuitive to a lot of people is like when it's uncertain, like, no, that's when you play it safe. Going back to what you're saying at the beginning, it's like, we're waiting until we know more. No more what? Just more. And I was like, good luck with that. But it sounds like when it's uncertain, like that's, don't retreat. It's actually time, go on the offensive. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think that there's a lot, and I think you're saying this, so correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a lot of clarity and maybe not certainty, but I'd like for you to maybe draw a distinction between certainty and confidence in just a second. But you get clarity and maybe some confidence, maybe some certainty, because you advanced, because you did something in the face of uncertainty and then you learned, like that intelligence. So maybe it worked, maybe it didn't, but you know more than you did before and maybe you're a little less uncertain. But I am curious because I've had this debate and conversation with some other leaders about certainty versus confidence. I find people who walk around with a high degree of certainty to oftentimes be the most obnoxious humans. And if you're familiar with the Dunning-Kruger effect, like I find people that are so certain they're on the peak of Mount Stupid, right? At the front end of that curve. But how do you think about or teach confidence versus certainty in that realm?
So a good friend of mine calls those folks who have that certainty and nothing is going to change them the flat earthers. Because nothing.
That's good. I'm looking forward to some emails and comments. Let's bring it on.
Because they're not going to change. It doesn't matter what information comes. That is their belief. And they are so certain that it doesn't matter what other information they get, their certainty will never change. And I think when you're looking at a path, and I look at myself, especially through my career, my path has never been certain. And now where I am, I'm kind of like, I'm glad it wasn't, because I got to explore. I had different things that took me different paths that if you would have asked me 20 years ago, what are you going to do? I would not be saying that I'd be sitting here doing this.
Same.
Well, exactly. But are you glad that you're doing what you're doing now?
Hell yes.
Exactly. But that's a culmination of different things that made you pivot or try something else. Or make a decision that you didn't realize you were going to have to make. And I think embracing that and if I make a decision, and most of the clients that I work with are not in the medical field, so no one is going to die if they make the wrong decision. If you make a decision and it's wrong, okay. And they're like, but I'm like, okay, So make another decision and make another pivot. At least pick a path. If you pick a path and you have clarity on what you want to accomplish, then when that unanticipated roadblock gets thrown in your way, you will pivot and you will pick another path. And so it's being, it's again, being that proactive, saying I'm making a decision versus just the, this happens. Okay, I will go this way, but then I got hit with this and you're not picking anything. So you feel, you lose that confidence that you can make the right decision because you've never made a choice.
You lose that sense of agency.
Exactly.
It sounds like you're saying we should hold a lot of these decisions while we could be confident in stepping forward, but we could hold it with an open hand to where, oh, like this is the best decision I think I can make given the information and the time and all the constraints. And if I step forward and it's not the right thing, I reserve the right to change my mind, to change direction, to do all those things that, which sounds a little like giving yourself some grace. I think of it as when you're driving, right? Like you're moving forward and you're multi-lane. And I'm sure all of us have done this. Lord knows I have. I'm trying to like weave my way through and going through Dallas traffic or something like that. I'm running late. But I was like, oh, this lane is going to be the right one. I get out and then I look up and there's a big flashing arrow that says to get back in the lanes I just came out of. I made that lane. Guess what? I get to go back in. I get to turn on my blinker, swallow my pride, have everybody probably think I'm an idiot, or at least that's what I think they're thinking. You thought you were going to get around us and you just come right back in. But guess what? I'm still moving forward. I'm still moving towards my destination.
Absolutely. You need to make the best decision that you can with the information you have at the time. And when that information changes, you make another decision based on the best information that you have at the time. And we've said before, change is constant. So your path will have to change, but don't you want to feel in control? You don't have to, and confidence doesn't, a lot of people mistake confidence for, like you said, the people who are like, I'm the best and I'm just going to do whatever without information.
Like bravado or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to describe it. And I don't look at confidence that way. There's a quiet confidence that I believe leaders have, and they are inspiring and empowering their people by giving them a strategic direction, being transparent. And there's a way to be transparent where you're not giving an inappropriate information away. You as a leader can be afraid that this isn't the right decision or that there are some risks that you're taking here, but your team should feel that it's a healthy decision. They don't have to feel like it's the perfect decision, but that you put thought, research, there's a reason you've made this decision and and that will give them more likelihood to follow you.
Yeah, you could say, I don't know exactly what the results are going to be. I have my little poker chip business cards that I hand out and I talk about making bets, and bets come with a degree of uncertainty. You have to acknowledge it, that there is uncertainty. I usually put in a lot of my slide decks, I'll put everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Mike Tyson, philosopher. and really, I mean, we're all as, whether you're an entrepreneur or you're a leader and you're just a part of leadership and you didn't start the company, but taking on those roles a lot of times feels like signing up to get punched in the face quite often. Like you make a lot of plans and then you get punched in the face. And I think a lot of what I feel like I hear you saying, and this maybe there's some transference because I've been thinking about this talk actually because of an introduction you made for me recently, was the whole concept of be the buffalo, right? The way out is through. So we're not running for the hills. We're not just standing there and taking it, but we're going to turn and we're going to face the storm of uncertainty and we're going to go headlong through it. And we might actually be surprised that we don't sit in uncertainty quite as long as we thought because we charged headlong into it.
Yes. I love the be the buffalo analogy. I think that's one that all entrepreneurs and leaders should embrace. Because you need, again, for businesses to succeed, for you to build a legacy with your business, you always have to be moving forward. It doesn't mean that you're not going to hit roadblocks. You're not going to run into problems. You know, it's all in how you deal with that, your mindset, your resilience, and your focus. So if you can prioritize and focus, it's going to help you move through that uncertainty and help you be that buffalo.
Absolutely. I'm going to start grazing on some grass and pasture, swatting flies. But Jennifer, if somebody's listening to this, they're like, you know what? I've been in a state of indecision, which is a decision. or there's just so many options in front of me and I'm not certain which is the right one, and maybe I'm even lacking in confidence. What's the first step that that leader can take in the next 24 hours, spending little to no money, to make some progress towards an intelligent failure, or at least gaining more confidence and clarity like you described?
So take 15 minutes and write down your 10 most pressing problems, challenges, roadblocks, whatever you want to call them.
Okay.
Bucket them into business or in financial, people, process, and communication. And then, and you don't have to have something in each of those categories. You may, one of them may be really on your mind. So that's fine. And then attach the word either urgent, meaning time sensitive, or important, meaning vital to the business to continue to move on. And that is going to help you. The first step you can take in starting to prioritize what you as that leader and entrepreneur need to focus on versus what you need to delegate to make sure it happens to go forward. And you can start to provide focus. If you set your priorities, it will provide focus and you'll start to clear your path.
Love that. That's simple. You could do that during your lunch break or something like that. So do it on your phone. Go for a walk and do it. Just don't get run over or bit by a dog, because I'm not liable for that. But Jennifer, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. I know you have plenty more to give, so we'll have to have you back on a follow-up episode. But if people want to know more about you, more about Thought Grow and your work, where would you send them?
Please connect with me on LinkedIn. Jennifer Cresswell, I'm out there. I love to connect with new people and solve problems. You can also go to my website. It's ThoughtGrow, ThoughtGrow.com. And just, Kenny, it's been a pleasure today. I always enjoy talking with you. And it's fun as we continue to dig in and try to solve the world's problems one step at a time. But yes, I love collaborating with leaders to solve your problems faster during times of uncertainty so that you can create lasting legacies. Also, to help with the recommendation that I just shared with the audience, Kenny, I will have a one-pager that will, you know, be a quick worksheet to help you bucket those questions and problems that you have, and then assign those that urgency or importance to those particular items.
Jennifer, thank you again for coming on the show. This was a lot of fun. I always enjoy our conversation, so I'm absolutely confident it won't be the last one. Who knows? This may be the most popular episode. I think it's really relevant for today. So thanks for stopping by. I'm about to do Anchorman quotes, but thank you to the listener. Listeners, there's tens of listeners. I don't know, whatever, whoever you are, we appreciate you for sticking with us, for listening in. I hope it added value to you and your day and your leadership. An easy way for you to pay that forward and add value to other people's leadership is to like, rate, review, subscribe, any of those buttons for engagement on whatever platform you have it be on, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the like. This helps the algorithm see the show and put it in front of more people who are looking for content like this. And you never know, your engagement may help someone else stumble across this conversation and it unlocks the next step in their leadership. And won't that make you feel good in your heart? So get your warm and fuzzies and take action today. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.